Well, we're going to the book of Ephesians. We're going to get into the armor pieces tonight, as we examine the first two of six pieces of Christian armor. Sometimes when you see someone who will list them, they'll include the seventh element, which is the element of prayer. And although it's not an actual piece of armor, I will tell you that it sure helps keep the armor clean and right and strong. And so I would never argue against that. We're going to look at the six pieces of Christian armor and to begin with the first two tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Heavenly Father, thank you. We've been building up for this study for some time, and now as we get into the actual pieces of armor, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to reaffirm, to recommit ourselves to these important character traits, biblical character traits, Lord. Make sure that they're properly in place and secure as we go forward in our Christian life. Lord Jesus, thank you for providing this portion of Scripture for us so that we can look at it, we can understand it, we can make sure that as we leave our homes each and every day to enter into this world, Lord, that we do not leave without being armored. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is where I think our illustration is going to come into a little bit more help as we begin to examine the different pieces of the armor of the Lord. Our six pieces of Christian armor. What are they, preacher? The warrior's belt of truth. Number two, the warrior's breastplate of righteousness. Number three, the warrior's boots of gospel preparation. Number four, the warrior's shield of faith. Take an entire week just on the shield of faith, such an important piece. What the Bible calls the above all piece of armor. And then number five, the warrior's helmet of salvation. And then the warrior's sword of the Spirit. So we're going to look at the first two pieces. I think that you can remember this as you go back and review it in your mind throughout this week. Because these two pieces of armor, I think, are so closely related. They're listed in order. They're listed on purpose in the order they're listed. And folks, first of all, it must start with truth and then righteousness. Truth and righteousness. Truth and righteousness. That's going to be the emphasis of tonight's study. Number one, we'll look at the warrior's belt of truth. Now, of course, we find the illustrations we can online. You will see that this man has leather belts with metal on them hanging across the front of him. Sometimes the armor would be built in such a way so that that is mail chain that is hanging across the front in this area. Most of the time, the belts would be consecutive and go from one waist all the way around to the other waist because they are not just there. This is almost seems to be added as decoration. They weren't there for decoration. They were a literal part of the armor of the Lord. And the Bible says that we are to have our loins girt about with truth. The warrior's belt of truth. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So that is the first piece of armor. It's the warrior's virtue of truth. Let me just stop and say, folks, this is the first listed because it is very important. And I think sometimes one of the most underemphasized of all of the character traits, of all of the things that we can attain to the point where several years ago, as I was making my rounds when I preached more camps, I began to preach for a couple years in camps and conferences. I got convicted about this. I did a study of it. And I begin to preach an entire message on the importance of truth. And folks, listen to me. We can't overemphasize it. You know, I think it was the devil that created this little phrase, the little white lie. There's not a little white lie. They're all big and black and ugly, and they all put us at risk. Okay, the Bible says this in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now listen, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so folks, there is a deliverance from bondage when we turn our back on lies and dedicate ourselves to the truth. Lies produce bondage in your life. Truth sets you free. The truth will always make a man free. Now, honesty is rightly defined as telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I love a little phrase we find in Mark 5:33. When Jesus interacts with this woman that come up behind him and touched the hem of his garment, it says, but the woman fearing and trembling, Mark 5:33, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And I like that little phrase, all the truth. Young people, watch this. Honesty is rightly defined as telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you know what? We can lie. You say, well, I told the truth. Did you tell all the truth? Because a lie sometimes can be disguised. We can make excuses for it because it is truth that's been somewhat altered. You know, when we tell an outright lie, then of course we have not been honest. That is not the truth. But you know what? When we tell a partial truth, that's why the Bible says all of the truth. That's why you put your hand on a Bible in a courtroom and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Why would they say it like that? Because you can tell the truth but leave something out. A partial truth is still a lie. And also, when it says nothing but the truth, you can say, well, I told the truth. Did you embellish it? Did you add something to it? Watch this, young people. We're going to end up with Daniel when we get down to the next piece of armor. But I'm going to tell you something. Daniel sets an example for all of us when the Bible says that he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And when it comes to these two character traits, I need you tonight to purpose in your heart. See, I think most Christians, I'm just going to tell you, most Christians, I think, say, well, preacher, I tell the truth most of the time, and I'm fairly committed to the truth. And you know what? The only time I don't maybe tell the truth is sometimes where maybe it wouldn't be to my advantage, then you have not purposed in your heart. And you know what? You can't just walk through the day and just take this piece of armor off and on and off and on and be protected. I want you to, come on, if we're going to put the armor of God in, we're going to put it on every morning and we're going to wear it every day, there has to be a purposing in our heart. There has to be that Daniel level commitment to something where, you know what? He purposed that he wouldn't defile himself with king's meat and with the wine that they drink. And you know what? If he ended up in a lion's den, if he ended up in the fiery furnace, if he ended up, you know, slain with a sword, it didn't matter the consequences. He purposed in his heart. And this is the level of commitment that I need young people to make if you're going to be properly protected against the attacks of Satan. And parents, the best way you can teach these things is to make sure that they're displayed before your young people, because these character traits is as much caught as they are taught. And you know what? If they're listening, come on, little ears, come on. They all, you say, Grandma Olga, you say, little pictures have big ears. And you know, there is something about, listen, you're on the phone and you're telling something to someone on the phone and your daughter was there in the story. And she's listening to you either embellish the truth or tell a partial truth. And you know what you're doing, whether you realize it or not? You are training her to lie. Because she will say, well, you know, when it's to your advantage, you tell all of the truth. When it's not to your advantage, you tell part of the truth. When it's to your advantage, you embellish the truth. When it's not to your advantage, or when it makes you look extra good, now be careful of that. Because this is an important piece of armor for our young people. And so, young people, I want to challenge you to do it. But let's make sure those of us that have been placed in sacred positions of authority, that we're mentoring the young people, set before them an example of honesty and truthfulness. Sometimes, watch this, when it's hard to tell the truth.
sometimes when it doesn't put us in the best light, you know, to be able to just be transparent and be able to say from time to time, you know what, Daddy wasn't exactly honest, was I, about that? You know what, that's a sin. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to pray a minute, and then I want to talk to you about that because I hope you would never do that. And I feel bad that you heard that. And then make it right. You know, that's going to leave more of an impression on them. It's not that you have to get it right all the time. Watch this. We're not always going to get it right, but let's always make it right, okay? Because we have the ability to do that. Now think about this. We're going to go into tomorrow and throughout your day and interacting with people, and as people ask you things and, hey, how the weekend going? As you're sharing stories and telling stories, I think the Holy Spirit needs to remind us, hey, before we leave the house tomorrow morning, let's make sure, okay, I'm going to gird my loins about with truth. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to make a purposeful commitment today that I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you know, folks, I'd rather not answer at all if I couldn't be truthful. Sometimes silence is a good answer. Well, preacher, if I said the truth, it would hurt that person. I said the truth, and I know we need to speak the truth with grace. I get that. So sometimes, you know what? It's better to change the subject than it is to inflict pain upon somebody. And, you know, we got to be careful because you can say, well, you know, preacher told me to tell the truth. And so a girl walked up me to school today and said, how do I look? And I said, fat. Okay, that's. You know, you always got to balance everything out, you know, because, yeah, you're like, well, it might even be the truth, but it's not a kind truth. And so don't say that, you know, and so be careful that sometimes silence is the best remedy. All right. And so I read this and I don't know how. I'm always interested when they get these statistics, how in the world they do get, especially one like this. But the Fuller Institute, I don't know, sounds legit. Statistics provided by the Fuller Institute says that the average American will tell 23 lies a day. I mean, that was shocking when I read that. And I don't know if they walk around behind them with a clipboard and listen to them. I don't know. I don't know if they had a group of people just be very honest about their lying. And by the way, if they're lying 23 times a day, how honest are they about their lying? I don't know how they got this. But I think that should bring conviction upon us. Oh, preacher, I wouldn't do that. Why don't we just pay attention tomorrow? Because it's a very easy sin to excuse. It's very easy just to kind of slide into this where we're just, really, we treat the truth, you know, very lightly, very casually. And we ought not to do that, okay? Let's recommit tonight to that. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Boy, that's an important portion of scripture there. How important is the truth? You know, our holy God, we're talking about God the Father, our holy God. The Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. Our holy God sets an example for us, Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So the Bible tells us God the Father, it's impossible for God to lie. Jesus and the truth are synonymous. Jesus said to his disciples that he was the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:14 says this, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. The Holy Spirit is called several times in the Bible the Spirit of Truth. So one of the things we have to understand is the truth is not only very important to God, it's one of the characteristics of our triune God. Not only that, but he's our holy, truthful God has given us a holy book that contains the truth. And you know what? This book contains two truths that as I studied this, it contains the gospel truth. It contains the gospel truth. You ever use that phrase where I'm going to tell you the gospel truth? Why do we say that? Because the gospel is true. And the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then not only that, but it contains the living truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Say, preacher, sometimes it's hard to know what the truth is. And I understand that we have to use some discernment, but I want to just give you something that'll help you. I believe the more faithful you are to reading your Bible every day, the more you're going to just understand in most situations what is the truth and what is not. Because this is the word of truth, okay? Let's listen. If somebody says something and the Bible says something different, God's word is always true. And whoever would oppose that, the Bible says this, let God be true and every man a liar. And what that means is any man who stands up and speaks opposite of the word of God, we don't have to wonder, well, is that man right and the Bible wrong? No, we can always say, wait a minute, God's word is always true. And I will say this, young people, one of the great protections you have to help you to speak the truth and know the truth is to spend time every single day in the word of God. If you go through it every single day and just, you know what, it'll put something in you. And sometimes there'll be that still small voice that brings a verse of memory up to your mind. And all of a sudden it stops you from doing something or crossing a line or saying something you ought not to say. There's also the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad God's provided so much help for us? He knows we need him, needs all of these help. We need all these helps because we can be a mess at times. And so we have the Word of God that's so important. We're going to talk about that. We talk about the sword of the Spirit. But we also have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. We also have our Creator God gave us a conscience, and that helps guide us in some things where we just, the Lord has well equipped us if we'll slow down and think through before we speak. We really don't have any excuse when it comes to saying, well, I may have lied, but I didn't realize it. No, most of the time I think we realize it. Let's just be careful in that. And so we have a holy God that is synonymous with the truth. We have a holy Bible that contains the truth. And then we're presented with the enemy, the devil. And he is the father of all lies. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Isn't it interesting? Jesus was described as being full of truth. And here we see the devil is empty of truth. It says, literally, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh on his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ephesians chapter 4 warns us, watch this. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Isn't it interesting that warning against giving the devil a place in your life or opening a door of satanic opportunity in your life is connected with this idea of speaking the truth and also of controlling our anger and our temper. And so we got to be careful about that. Now, I want to finish up on this piece of armor and leave you with this. Every person has to decide if his or her life is going to be defined by truth. Listen, defined by truth or defiled by lies. And it's easy. You say 23 times. You'd be surprised when you start checking on yourself. I know this. I've run into Christian people. I mean, Christian people that are just developed a habit of lying. They're habitual liars. They lie when they don't even have to lie. And you think, how many times a day do we just tell something that's just an outright untruth? How many times do we tell a story but we leave out something because if we included that, it would put us in a bad light? Or we tell a story. Come on, young men. Young men have a lot of pride. Come on, guys. We have an ego. And sometimes we want to tell about something that happened. And if we just add something a little extra to the story, it makes us look like we, you know, leap tall buildings at a single bound, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, you know. And we tend to want to say these things, you know. And listen, when we get in the habit of that, we put ourselves at risk. Because watch this. Where is this piece of armor? Where do we wear this? Our loins are girt about with truth. The greatest protection, young people, listen to me, against moral sins is an absolute commitment to the truth. Anytime a young man ends up messing out, I mean messing up morally, I promise you can go back and look and there was a pattern of lying that preceded that sin. And so you know what? Your mom and dad start asking you questions about that because they see something's not right and you start lying about it. Listen, if we're not careful, we start by lying to ourselves. And then we start lying to someone. Oh, this isn't really going to hurt. Come on, guys. It isn't going to hurt to look at this. It isn't going to hurt young ladies to go to this site or that site. It's not going to hurt. We lie to ourselves. Next thing you know, we're lying to other people around us. And then we're lying to God Almighty. And next thing you know, it's so easy to cross that moral boundary then. And so it's a great, great protection when you just say, I'm going to make a Daniel-level decision. I'm going to purpose in my heart. And I'm going to make a commitment to truthfulness. Listen, always tell the truth. By the way, be willing to accept the truth. Sometimes mom and dad are trying to tell you something that's true, but you don't want to hear it, so you fight back against the truth. So tell the truth, accept the truth, seek the truth every day by reading the Bible, and then walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. And that's a very important piece of armor. And I want to talk about the warrior's breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girt about with truth, but the breastplate of righteousness that is worn on the chest area, it protects your heart. And so the warrior's breastplate of righteousness, think about this. We could just get these two things done. We got a whole week to work on it. Let's work on it, okay? And then eventually when we get all the pieces covered, well, as I promised you, I'm going to go through, I'm going to present, give everybody a laminated card you can put in your Bible, and it'll help you to know how to just take a handful of minutes every morning and just walk through this process of putting on the Christian armor. But let's just start with these two pieces. Let's say, hey, you know what, preacher, let me get these on. Let me get used to these. Let me get these things comfortable in my life. So let's make a Daniel-type commitment to the idea of truthfulness and then a Daniel-level commitment to the idea of righteousness. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was presented with an opportunity, a decision he had to make. In the doing of wrong, it would have been a lot easier to get along with those who were over him. But you know what? It wouldn't have been the right thing to do. It would have been the easy thing to do. Isn't that what I said this morning? But it's not the right thing to do. And so Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel is an Old Testament man, well worth studying. We live in a world starved for godly character. Yet God offers to every Christian a feast of virtue from the example of Daniel. Every young person ought to dare to be a Daniel. Every one of us that are older ought to use Daniel as one of our heroes. Chapter 1 finds him a relatively young man. He's been disposed of his home, captive in a heathen land, yet he never left his faith, never lost his bearings. Watch this. And never surrendered his integrity. So important. Daniel's life is one of discipline, one of distinction. I think one of delight in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, by the way, read the end of his life. Kings would honor him. Friends would follow him. Enemies would try to destroy him. Yet God's good hand of blessing and protection remained upon him. And you know what? I think those things were decided young. Because God will honor the person that will honor truth and righteousness. Daniel had a simple philosophy of life. And again, folks, these things aren't complicated. Here was his philosophy of life. Do right. Do right. Do right. Do right. This was the foundation of his personal character. Character is something we don't talk enough about. A.W. Tozer said this, as the excellence of steel is strength and the excellence of art is beauty, so the excellence of mankind is moral character. Billy Sunday said, your reputation is what people think about you. Your character is what God knows about you. D.L. Moody said this, character is what a man is in the dark. He also said this, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. Well, that's a good thing. So many people are working hard on their reputation. You know, I call it their Facebook image, okay? So they're so worried about propping up their image on Facebook. And so, listen, don't be concerned about your reputation. Be concerned about your character. If your character's right, your reputation will take care of itself. George Washington, we could use a president like him right now. I hope I shall possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider the most enviable of all titles, an honest man of character. Wow, think about that. What is character? Character is an unflinching resolve to live by a biblical code of honor. What is all this armor stuff, folks? It's a code of honor. That's what it is. A warrior's code of honor. Character is a personal commitment to live a righteous life. Theodore Roosevelt, who I admire, I like reading about him. He said this, it is necessary for the welfare of the nation that men's lives be based on the principles of the Bible. To educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. Wow, I'd love to hear a president say something like that. How about this? He said this also, a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. I would say amen and amen to that. Daniel Webster said this, education is useless without the Bible. Daniel, in this chapter 1, purposes in his heart to do right. And then he was faced with a decision. You know, you can purpose, but that purpose is going to be challenged. Hey, I want to tell you, every single person in this room, in the next 24 hours, you can make a commitment to honesty and a commitment to do right, and I promise it will be challenged. It's going to be challenged. But you know what? Is it truly character if it's not challenged? You know, I don't think that testing makes you who you are. It reveals who you've already decided to be. And so meat offered to idols, Babylonian wine. Sorry, he had Bible against those set things. So Daniel purposed in his heart to do the right thing. Great character determines is a determination to do right. Young people, I'm going to tell you, purpose early in your life to do right. Now, I keep using that word. Because again, I think righteousness, some of these pieces of armor are just keeps, many Christians just have this idea of putting it off and on, as it seems to benefit the situation. That is not a purpose. That is not character. That's convenience. And so I want you to purpose. I mean it. A young man, I'm talking about some of these younger guys up here, some of these young ladies up here that's listening, and they get this, and they say at a young age, I'm going to purpose in this area of truthfulness. I'm going to purpose in this area of doing right. I'm telling you whether or not it's not going to make your life always easy. It's going to sometimes put you in hard, tough situations. It's going to make you make hard choices. But listen to what I'm going to say. It will always get God's attention and it will always secure God's blessing. And I believe many of you young people are determining in your youth what God can trust you with later. And so Daniel, the reason he ended up where he did was this matter of purposing about something. So let's make a commitment to this. Well, preacher, help me. Well, let me give you some suggestions. Purpose in your heart to read, believe, and obey the Bible, okay? That's going to be where I ascertain where I go to define truth. And then once I know the truth, I'm going to commit to a life of living out the truth. Truth and right. Truth and right, they go together. Purpose in your heart to abstain from anything that would destroy your mind or your body. Purpose in your heart to raise your family in church. Purpose in your heart to live for God all the days of your life. This is the opening message, truth and right. Truth and right. Truth protects your moral character. Righteousness forms your biblical character. Listen, young people, tell the truth and always do what's right. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these two pieces of armor. The first two of the six we'll cover. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us challenge each and every one of us in our heart, Lord, in that quiet, private place that only is known by God and us, each individual. Lord, I pray that we would make a commitment, Lord, to you, that whether or not men know it or recognize it, whether or not it's done in front of a crowd or somewhere private where no one will know, Lord, that we'll just recommit ourselves to these great virtues, that we would wear these pieces of armor throughout the week ahead, Lord. May we gird our loins about with truth. May we wear the breastplate of righteousness so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Pray these things in Jesus' name.